I hope y'all ready.
Don't you know the power of the dark side? Not the only one cursed with power.
Chilling with Phyllis Podcast.
Perfect.
Month and a half. I've been like a walking embarrassment because just because
I want to say all that.
Damn, Mark. I'm just kidding.
Oh, hi, Mark.
guys.
Oh, hi, Mark.
But yeah, y'all, welcome back. We have a heavy podcast today. We have a lot to discuss. So the lineup for today, guys, is going to be Boba Fett, right? Chapter four, The Gathering Storm. Like that name.
Yeah.
It was fire. We're going to talk about the first three episodes of Peacemaker, which is the first comic book content that we're getting in 2022, right?
From DC, yeah.
What, the Marvel drop 2022?
No, I thought you meant like... Oh, you mean in general.
Yeah, bro.
Okay.
It's the first comic book content of 2022.
I already know Mark is going to say something.
No!
No, he's Marvel boy. He's a Marvel boy.
And then, of course, the main event will be...
Euphoria.
Euphoria. But before we get into all that, just wanted to... just see how you guys are doing. How's the week been? We have a short week, right? Martin Luther King Jr. Day was on Monday.
Yeah.
So, anything new? Any funny stories? I feel like you just told me a funny story.
I did?
Yeah, I feel like it.
When?
About the fucking bottles dropping. No clue.
Oh, okay.
Aaron's like, what lie did I tell you?
Nah, it's just.
You don't have to share it. I just thought it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Well, I think I do have something else weird that happened to me at work, but I don't remember it right now.
Before this is what I wanted to say. I've been rewatching the Harry Potters with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, they just continue to get better. Like from the first, where we just finished Goblet of Fire, which I was just like, wait, no, yeah, it was the Goblet of Fire. I'm like, wow, like. I didn't remember how good like that movie was.
Damn, I got Rob Pattinson in it.
Yo, the Batman. Yo, you saw who he's working with? Damn, bro, my guy getting that Warner Brothers check
now. He's gonna be leading. He's the point guard for Warner Brothers currently.
He really is. Like this dude is the face of their, like, basically their DC universe. He is the current face of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like without a doubt. Like with everything going on, like. Everyone knows, like, okay, cool, like, he's the Batman. Like, we know that for a fact.
Absolutely.
And then, right, he just got to work with Christopher Nolan, and now my son, Bong Joon-ho. Like, is that how you pronounce it?
Bong Joon-ho.
Bong Joon-ho?
Bong Joon-ho, I believe it is. Comment below, guys.
Director of Parasite.
Yes, which was excellent.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I know that probably sounds pretty mainstream, right? Like, oh, he directed Parasite.
Wait, hold on. That's mainstream?
I don't know. Is it? I mean, it won the Academy Award.
I mean, it swept. That's just
so that's pretty mainstream.
Oh, mainstream, yeah.
Wow. I don't know because
it's not that it's bad. I mean, it's right. Just like
no, it's just
I haven't seen it personally yet, but just, I mean, it's just like
that's the thing for me. I take mainstream pretty literal. So if you say something's mainstream, that means every like the majority of the moguls know of it.
Majority of muggles knew about it, dude.
Are you kidding?
It was the first foreign film to win the Academy Award.
You're kidding.
No, the thing is that since we spend the most of our week at work, you would think you would hear in passing in conversation.
At least back then, I heard about it a lot.
I heard everywhere. I was hearing about Parasite. Yo, did you see Parasite? Yeah, oh my God, Parasite.
I heard Parasite was from you guys, so I guess that's fine. Yeah, that counts. But I'm saying, like, outside of you guys.
Yo, Mark hates hyped up things.
Yeah, I can't
watch
it.
Oh, that shit is lit? I'm not watching it.
I mean, that sounds like me too.
Like, I can't. I don't know why. It makes me want to watch it less. Like, Arcane, super hyped. I heard about it from everybody. Still haven't started yet.
Yeah, I don't think I'll see
and
that.
I will see it.
What was the show?
Arcane.
Oh.
The animated show.
Yeah, bro.
And then Squid Game.
Brian said it was good and told us to watch it, so I'm not watching it.
Word. Squid Game. Perfect. I haven't watched that yet. I haven't watched Parasite. Like, everything that I just hear, like, from every fucking direction, I just end up tuning it out. It's bad. I don't know why.
It's like, don't suggest anything to me ever.
And I stand corrected.
Word. Just send me the trailer. Just send me the trailer. Say, what do you think about this?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll start doing that. Not to you, Ariel, but to Mark, or maybe to you.
Always, you know what? Speaking of, send me the trailer. Speaking of, you guys know what happens this Friday?
This Friday. Can you give us a hint?
It's not your birthday, so
no.
I can't think of anything more important.
Oh, Ozark. Oh,
yes, sir. Ozark this Friday.
You guys heard it here first.
That's just crazy.
Ozark.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Let's go.
That's so lit. That just
bro,
like
we have so many shows.
And I'm here telling Junior, yo, by the time Moon Knight rolls around, we're going to be okay.
Bro, we're going to be assed out. Yo, I was going to talk about some other shit prior, but let's just get into it because I forgot we got mad shit to discuss.
Yeah, we do.
We'll save it for another time. You know what? Because I wanted to discuss the whole Joss Whedon thing, but I'm not getting into that right now.
I'm lost. I have no idea about that.
Because.
There we know.
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
Do I need that drop on this? This is episode 140.
That's a POC line, guys. I'm so sorry. That was not me personally saying that to Joss Whedon. Although, for $5.
Get money.
Oh, my gosh.
Perfect. Yo, what do you think he would say to me?
Nothing.
You think he'd want to square up?
Joss is not squaring up with anybody.
I probably would fuck him up. I probably would low-key wash him.
Not even low key. He's like a 45-year-old man.
What if he's nice, bro? Like, what if I go to tackle him? He's just like elbowing me in the back, like correctly,
all that time he spent on the set of Buffy. He's like, yeah, I could watch somebody.
Yikes!
He's like, oh, Ray Fisher, you want to fight me? You want to fucking fight? Like, I know how to fucking scrap, dude.
Bro,
nah, bro, fuck Joss Whedon.
Damn.
But Mark. Why did you hate that scene when they were chasing that little bug?
That
in the
robot.
Kitchen?
Yo, he hates it. I knew it.
Guys, Boba Fett chapter 4.
It sounds like you guys probably already know why. But I mean, I'll say it. So they're both waiting on opposite sides of that entry point.
Here we go.
And then they start backing away from the robot, like, oh, hopefully they don't see us. Like, you guys, we're going quiet, stealthy, you know? But they take out the robots, they just leave them there, like, leave their dead bodies there. Okay, whatever. If you're gonna do that, then you have to make sure that anybody who comes in there while you're in the room has to die. Or, like, you know, get destroyed if they're a robot. And, like, bruh, I don't think that's a nitpick at all. Like, it's just like they're backing up and then he notices them and then they start attacking. It's like, it's a fucking little shit. Just fucking kill it. Like, what are you waiting for? That shit just bugs me to no end. And I really don't think that's a nitpick.
Bro,
I really don't.
If there is any
flag
kind
on
of,
the play.
Yeah, flag on the
no
play.
Shot, that's a nitpick. Hold no on. Shot, that's a nitpick.
Hold on.
No shot, that's a nitpick. No
hold
shot.
Hold on.
What is the verdict? Ariel, your
Come
thoughts on.
On
it.
I believe that Mark is extremely prejudiced against anything cute put in the mix of something intense.
What are you talking about?
I'm sure you don't fuck with Baby Groot during a fight with people. You don't fuck with freaking Grogu.
What are you talking about?
People. You don't like.
I don't fuck with Baby. What are you talking about? When did I have a problem with Baby Groot?
You're saying that Baby Groot would not be the reason for you to watch The Mandalorian.
Bro, you confusing
Grogu?
Universes.
Are you? I mean, where are you right now, bro? What the fuck are you talking about? I was like, Baby Groot, Mandalorian. I was also, like, what the fuck?
I did also slightly mention Grogu.
Yeah, so who was... Dude, I don't have a problem with Grogu. The problem...
You got a problem with Eagly?
No.
Oh, I don't care.
The point... okay, listen. The difference between... What I had a problem with Grogu in the season finale of Mando was that the robot took him straight into the battlefield. The one that, like, you're all trying to protect. He takes him right in the battlefield, and he's just holding him like this while he's getting shot at from, like, 20 different fucking directions.
But who was shooting at him?
And then it's just... It doesn't fucking matter who was shooting at him. It doesn't matter. That's not the point.
Bro, if stormtroopers were, like, the threat...
Come on,
we know we making it, bro. Making it out.
Besides that scene, just... how did you feel about the episode?
Wow. It was like... Honestly, it was like the first two episodes, in my opinion. It was like nothing crazy happened where I'm like, oh my God. And nothing great, nothing bad happened really where I was like, oh my fucking God. So that's my thoughts. It was an okay episode.
But like,
damn, Mark.
Sorry. I feel like if anything, this was my favorite episode.
I don't need a backstory. I need a whole episode talking about when he fucking, how he got his shit back and all this shit. Like,
Mark,
I don't give a shit.
If we didn't tie up the loose end that started the season.
I don't give a shit about it. Sorry.
Yeah, but then if they wouldn't have tied that up, that would have been an issue.
Not for me. I don't give a fuck. I wasn't even thinking about it.
So if they would have never done another flashback, you would have been fine.
I didn't say that. I said I don't need an episode where a flashback of him just going to get his ship for the whole fucking
episode. They have to also
episode.
They have to tie up that end of the story.
I get it. I understand, but I don't care about it. So it's like I'm saying it's not bad, but it's not great. Where I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. You know, like it was cool, and then. No, it was just like a boring. It just felt boring. I wasn't like enthralled with anything really happening.
Damn, bro.
Sorry.
Why? Because of your guilt?
Ooh.
Yo, I think to me, Boba is gonna end up as one of the most unappreciated shows, like throughout his first four episodes. To me, like I think, you know why? You want to know why? Boba Fett to me. Was always buns. Always so buns. Yes,
I didn't know
bro.
He was going
yes,
there
no,
with
no,
this.
Listen to me. He was the most hyped up character in Star Wars. Bro, people hyped him up, and I'm like, yo, he was on screen for
20 minutes yeah.
throughout the original trilogy. Okay, look.
And
listen.
His outfit was worse. Like, it looked super goofy.
Like, he was wild corny to me. So... prior to the show, like, don't get me wrong, I didn't read the books, right? Because I know there's books on him, and like, there's little things here
new
that
things
you see
that are
him,
canon
right?
Shit, yeah.
Like, okay, from what I've seen on him from the big screen, like, he was always buns. So then we get him in Mando, and I'm like, okay, there's a little bit more personality to this guy. You know what I mean? Like, we get to hear more of his dialogue. We get to see more of what his intentions are.
Yeah.
And I feel like these first four episodes have made Boba Fett really cool to me. Like, I get the sensation of, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing this. It's just when I first watched Man of Steel, like, on how I felt about the character of Superman. But it's no comparison because, like, Superman's obviously, like, to me, a much grander character than Boba. But it's the same sort of sensation for me. Now I sort of care for the character in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, cool. I got your backstory. And I appreciate that, you know, in his dialogue with you know, Finnick, he was saying how he was like, oh, like, they brought me into their family. You know what I mean? Like, I no one's ever done that. To him, he was always just a bounty hunter, right? He was just always working as a contractor for
and
someone
before
else.
Before that, he was a clone.
Yeah. Like, dude has a tragic, like, backstory in a sense. And... You know, it's dope that in his conversation with Finnick, he's like, yo, like, I'm also tired of working for fucking idiots that are going to get me killed. Like, I want to start my own shit. So you still have the sympathetic side to it where you're like, okay, I feel for him and, like, I'm getting to know more of, like, what he went through.
Yeah.
And also the, yo, I'm a fucking G. Like, I'm about to build my own empire because that's essentially what he wants to
the
do.
The Bob father.
The Bob father. Exactly.
Look at Mark. He hates it, bro. So boring. A freaking galactic godfather.
I mean, and that's fine. Like, to me, that's the impression it leaves on me, right? And it doesn't leave that impression to Mark, but I at least wanted to, you know, share with you how my portrayal has been so far of it and why I so far, like, don't have really any, like, yeah, that fucking scene was wild corny with, like, the little robot, super unnecessary. And I get that. But, like, to me, it didn't take away from the overall story and kind of seeing what happened with Finnick, too, like, because she had got clapped in the Mandalorian.
Yeah, so we have to take back what we said there.
Right, like...
Because remember when she got clapped and then she showed up? We saw her get clapped, mm-hmm. and then when we saw her again, we're like, yo, she totally got washed.
Like, yeah, like, how is she back?
She already took a dirt nap. She took a dirt nap and then she's just chilling now. Yeah. So it's good.
Well, didn't we see like in that post credit scene of when she got clapped? Like,
oh, we did see somebody.
We did see somebody.
We saw somebody grab her. Yeah,
but it was yeah, cool so we, to we knew see she was what in the back. Did.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what he did to like. To that's revive fine. Her.
Or but you see how you quick know? That was. That's all I needed. That's all I need. I don't need like. I'll tell you this. How would you have felt if they just went like, okay, let's go in stealthily and you just kind of see them, okay, take out some guys, boom, 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 quick, you know, and then they just dip out with the ship.
I get it.
And then they spend more time building out what's happening in the current time.
It's a Hawkeye finale situation in the ice ring. Just spent too much time fighting bum asses.
Really? Honestly, that's really what happened.
Because we're seeing a lot of they're moving like stormtroopers out there. Let's just say the ops are very, you know, they're variants of stormtroopers.
They're like, Jesus.
Not a single shot was hit.
And like the Pernil, bro.
The Pernil boys.
Like the Pernil boys was ass. Like these dudes could not scrap. I'm glad they, whatever two they found, like can scrap. Because
what if those are the same two from.
You think? It could be. It very well could be.
Yeah, it might be the same dudes. They got cooked and they're like, yo, if you can't beat them, join them.
Right. Like, but yo, that Mark, what'd you think of that? Him finally recruiting Chewbacca's cousin, bro. Like.
It was good. I mean, it's, I think we literally talked about it last episode. Me and Ariel, I literally said, I was like, why wouldn't he just recruit him right then and there? And then they just, I don't know. It was just like shit that, again, you could have just done in the last episode. I just don't understand. Like, what's the, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, bad placement sometimes.
Well, cause he had.
Did I not say that? No, I was like, why wouldn't you just recruit him right there? And obviously I knew he was going to come back, but I was like, okay, maybe he'll come back in like the finale or something like that. But then the very next episode, they're like, oh, yo, you should come work for me.
Well, no, to be fair, he is prepping for war. Like he wasn't necessarily prepping for war in the previous episode. Now he knows shit's about to go down.
Exactly.
Now he knows shit's about to go down. So he's like, I need all the help I could get. And with that being said, the Mandalorian theme started playing.
Let's go!
Yeah, that was cool. I'm agreeing that was cool. I like. What? Sorry, I'll lie. That was terrible. I hated it.
Nah, Mom, don't lie to me, Mark.
I don't know. I just said it was cool. And then everyone's like, that was cool? But anyway, back to the thing. He let him go after he was told, hey, you should get the fuck off this planet. Like, you should get out of here, bro. By the Hutts. And then he let him go. Like, it's like obvious that there is something bigger at play here. And then he's like, all right, you can get out of here, man.
Yeah, but they could have been capping.
The fuck?
Like the Hutts could have been capping.
Yeah. Either way. Look, okay. If they are capping, all right. But then you go say, hey, how about this? He's gonna give him the advice anyway. He gives him the advice, hey, don't work for assholes. Why don't you say, so work for me instead? We can work together and then just run this whole shit. Nobody's gonna fuck with us.
Bro, because they needed to.
But then he waits the next episode and it's like, oh yeah. Cool scene
at the bar where he fucks everybody up.
Unneeded, bro. Just not needed. Like, it's just like they spend so much time to like, we already know he's a badass. He went in there and almost fucked everybody up.
Yo, he did fuck everybody up. He dismembered a dude and they just kept moving. The show was just like, play the music.
play that funky music. Like,
very bizarre scene. That was a weird scene.
I think you're nitpicking, low-key.
I don't. I just think it's just like things that can be done better, but whatever.
Mark's writing the script confirmed. Let me know.
They would hate me if I read this script.
They'll be like, wait, hold on, dude. Go to HBO Max.
Hold on, wait.
Look at Brian.
How come everybody from the Skywalkers? What?
I fell asleep watching it, guys. I'm sorry. Bro.
Oh, shit.
Get this guy out of here, bro.
We brim.
Yo, no way, dude.
Wow, was the episode that bad, right, dude?
Like,
oh my goodness.
I don't know, man. To me, there's just, I like the whole transition from, you know, bounty hunter to his arc that he's like, you know, the Tuskens took him, made him as one of theirs, you know, an outsider, took him in. They get slaughtered, and he's like, okay, cool. Like, he took a piece from that interaction back with him, right? He's not just some mercenary bounty hunter. Like, he's fucking...
Yeah, he said, I'm going to run this shit now. This is my, like, I'm going to be on the other side. And not even that.
He's trying to keep the people of Tatooine safe. Like, he's been saying that. He's like, yo, like... Because, and that's why I like when he sat down with, like, the heads of the family. Which, again, G moment, because they were like, yo, what's stopping us from killing you right now? He's like, stupid, look what you're under. Look what you're under. Please go ahead.
Look what's under you. Yeah.
And so he, like, there's still that aspect of, because even Finnick, like, kind of teased him, right? It's like, wow, you, like, the Tuskens made you soft. And so they keep alluding to this, you know, with the fandom, I think, is saying as a whole, like, hey, like, you know, they're making Boba into this, into that, but it's like, no, like, he's still a fucking G. Like, he's been through it.
Do not get it twisted.
And so that's why now, like, him fucking saying, yo, I got bread, like, we're going recruiting. Like, I think this next episode is going to be dedicated to him fucking recruiting his squadron. Like, yo, like, we about to get into war, dude. Like, this shit's about to pop off.
Yeah, it's gonna kind of set up to we can assume the legacy he's going to leave behind, because... It seems like Disney is, you know, using all these shows to wrap up these 30, 40-year-old storylines that we need, you know, we kind of have to bookend so we can, like, move on. And, you know, that's what these shows are filling the gaps of. Like, okay, what happened between here and there that we could kind of be secure with their ending. So we know how Obi-Wan ended up. Like, he just got swiped. By a lightsaber, and that was the end of it. That was super buns, right? So we kind of need, like, some more redemptive qualities to him.
I was talking to some of my former colleagues about this, dude. I'm like, yo, we're about to see a potential scrap between Obi and Anakin again, and this time in 2022, like, with the technology, like, and shit that Disney has now.
Wait, they're gonna fight again?
I mean, he's confirmed in the show. Like,
I don't know, but...
bro, there's no way they're gonna add him in there and not have them scrap.
And see, that's the thing. Since Clone Wars is canon, they're not gonna redo what. So when does Obi-Wan show take place?
Star Wars timeline.
Yeah, we're closing out the segment with, you know, kind of a speculative look at. Where they can go after Boba.
Where
the story goes after Boba.
Guys, whatever you think of Boba Fett, the theme song is top five hardest things I've ever listened to in my entire life.
Yeah, it's one of the best theme songs. Hands down.
Obi-Wan takes place. Wait, is this, what is this in order of? Star Wars movies and TV shows in chronological order. Yeah. The Acolyte, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, The Clone Wars, Revenge of the Sith, The Bad Batch, Solo, Obi-Wan series, taking place after Solo.
Oh, so it's right after Solo then. So that means, okay. Interesting. All right.
And right before Rebels. And then, bro, Star Wars is about to do their thing right now, too, on Disney Plus. They got mad shit coming out on Disney Plus. They got the Andor series, Rogue One series, 2020. Oh, this year, too? Damn. Obi-Wan this year, Ahsoka probably next year. And I think Luke, I mean, what's his name, is coming back for that, too? Hayden Christensen. Like, Mark is tight, bro. Like, but in turn, so what would you, and obviously we'll let Mark, when he gets back, talk about it as well, but what, how did you feel about the entirety of the episode? I know you said it had its cool moments, but how were you feeling overall about it?
It was a solid episode. It wasn't as good as last week, but I appreciate what it's setting up. I appreciate how they're kind of, you know, giving us, you know, like you said, more insight into Boba Fett's character, because that's what matters for a character that has been hyped up for the entirety of our lives, in a sense, that we've always heard about, that we kind of got tired of hearing about, because it's just like, okay, dude, like, why, what makes this guy so special? Yeah. We're not reading books. We're not getting into all the canonized, you know, things that are out there.
Yeah.
We're watching what's now, what's presented to us now, so.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I feel like what would you give this?
This episode is a solid B+. Like the series so far has been a B+.
Right, I agree. Yo, Mark got the eats right now. You seen them? Yo, he got them tater tots. Yo, tater tots on.
Yo,
deck. Eat your tots, yes, sir. Tina.
Yo, Scott's thoughts. Yo, but no, Mark, Ariel and I were agreeing that this episode was a B+ for us, and the series as a whole so far has been a B+. So just wanted your letter grade of the episode.
I'll give it a C+, B-.
Not as harsh as I thought he was going to go.
No, I'm telling you, it's been like the first two episodes. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just, you know?
I feel like the next three episodes are going to go hard.
I'll give it a C+. And then I'll give the show overall probably like a B.
Copy. But I do feel like the next three episodes about to go hard, y'all. I just think, like, again, because Ariel brought up a good point. Like, they're setting up this dude. And all the important Star Wars heads are, like, behind us right now. Like, I just don't feel like they're going to fumble. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't feel like, I think Dave Filoni still has, so he co-wrote, and he directed an episode. So Filoni's directing one of these next three episodes.
Oh, shit. Come on, guys. Come on.
And we still got Bryce Dallas Howard, who's coming on to direct an episode.
Wait, and John Favreau too?
So the series consists of 7 episodes, all written by John Favreau. I don't think Favreau is directing any.
He always does that. He directs one or two things, and he's like, all right, I'm out.
Filoni helped co-wrote the 6th episode, so you know that episode about to go crazy.
And this episode was solid dialogue, too. I didn't mind the dialogue.
Yeah, it was directed by Kevin Tancherone. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. So they bring in a new... That was one of the new dudes they brought in to direct. So we still got 3 episodes, right? So Bryce Dallas Howard is directing one. Filoni's directing another one. And I think Robert Rodriguez is directing another one. If I'm not mistaken. He directed 1 and 3. So he might not. Oh, no. Yeah, he is. Yep. So those are the last 3. Rodriguez, Filoni, and Bryce Dallas Howard. Not in that order, but that's lined up with Favreau still writing all of them.
You know, and I believe Bryce is the one that directed the episode where... Is it the one where the other set of the Mandos pulls up?
I believe so. Yeah.
She directed that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a solid-ass episode, so...
Yeah, man.
Looking up.
Looking up. And if you a hater, wouldn't stop hating. Bars.
Come on, Mark. It's up and it's stuck with Boba and Mando right now.
Let's see.
You guys act like I hate it. I don't. As I've said multiple times, the episodes have just, for the most part, have just been meh to me. Like, meh. Nothing crazy.
At 7 p.m., I get a call, y'all. My boy, Mark.
Yo, I'm going to read one comment. This is the only bad comment I'm going to read. 4 out of 10, 95% filler. No.
that's
a crazy percentage, bro. That's a crazy percentage, though. 95%? Like, come on now. Let's be realistic. That is not a 95% filler. Come on. No so forward
an
movement.
An A filler, bro.
No forward movement in the story at all other than minor bits. The story itself is getting boring. I'm starting to think whoever wrote the screenplays for this series must have been under a time crunch because the story is just so empty so much of the time. No, not at all, dude. I guarantee you they were in no time. They introduced this shit a year ago. They introduced this shit at the end of season 2 of Mando.
Well, who knows if this has been in development for...
Of course it has.
Yeah, so...
Come on.
They would not show that at the end of season 2 of Mando and be like, yeah, we don't know.
They probably had this shit planned after season 1 of Mando.
Absolutely.
Because they added Finnick in the first few episodes.
Yeah.
So, like, stupid. The flashback sequence was fine, but had zero drama. You know Boba got his ship back because of the Mandalorian, so why this part of the story? It's only 7 episodes long, and we really needed practically an entire episode about recovering Slave One. We did. I just think the entire story could have been in a less clumsy way, because if nothing else, there are just no stakes during the flashback sequences. Boba is alive in the present, so of course he succeeds in the past. That is a bum.
That part I don't agree with. That part is not good because, like, then there's no point in any flashbacks.
In Jesus' name, no more cap.
Yo, his ship is called Slave One.
Yeah,
he's wildin'.
Well, apparently,
but dude,
they're rebranding it.
You're lying.
I'm dead ass. Disney's dead apparently ass? Yeah, rebranding it.
Yeah, that makes sense for toys. I can see that.
Yeah, can't PC. Sell a toy called Slave One.
Pandering.
Oh, shit.
Again, the flashbacks are fine, but making them 80% of the storyline seem pointless to me. Well, buddy, I'm sure you won't get one next week. So, yeah, there you go. There you have it.
It's just like that end comment was dumb. Like, it was kind of respectable until that point.
You were agreeing with him. You were like, oh shit, like, he's making some good ass points.
He was. I mean, he was making what I was saying. Like, it doesn't need to be like this. We already know he got the ship. We already know, like, just do it quickly, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a whole episode of it.
Yeah.
But, like, but then he lost me with the we already know he's alive. Like, no shit. Everybody knows he's alive. It's called Boba Fett. You think he's gonna die in the middle of the season?
Like regardless, no. Right? Present day or in the past. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Dying. He's not dying when the episode, when there's 7 episodes, then it's episode 4,
like,
dude.
Imagine he's like, it just opens
up. Yo,
with
a
that.
Show should do some shit like that. That's,
I mean,
bro,
Game of Thrones.
Right. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, I'm like, oh shit, nah, my God. Yo, spoilers for Game of Thrones, yo.
Oh, wait, hold on. Gotta hit him with it.
Spoilers ahead.
Gotta hit him with it.
Spoilers ahead.
Yes, my guy Soup's come through. But yeah, with Ned, bro, I'm like, nah, no way they chopping the main character's head off right now. Like, they OD bugging.
They did it, man.
Axe this shit. I'm like,
we're not comparing Boba Fett to Game of Thrones, right? There's no way.
Bro, who's comparing?
Bro, he was literally just making a joke. Like, he was, come on, Mark. Come on,
wow.
Mark.
On that note, bro.
I missed the joke part.
On that note, bro, Ariel. Well, guys, make sure to tune in because we obviously will be covering the last three episodes, and we will be doing a obviously our reaction, and we'll do a video version of the review for the finale, because it's the finale. I'm sure they're gonna go crazy with it, or we'll do reviews if next episode goes crazy. Which, I mean, if Mando's showing up, we might have to throw that up. So stay tuned for that. But Ariel, I want to transition because you did not really like James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, correct?
It was not up to par to what I expected from, like, I wanted to feel a bit more invested in the characters.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was a really cool ragtag group he put together there. It's just, I guess,
sloppy team. Like, wow, like, you got yourself a handful there.
Yeah. And, you know,
it worked.
I watched it twice within the same weekend or within the same week that it came out. And I was just kind of mad.
What'd you give it?
And
what'd you say, Mark?
I said, what would you give it? Like
I gave
letter grade, or out of 10?
Out of 10, I gave it, I think, a 5. Like a 5 out of 10. But, you know.
Yo, it's top 3 comic book movies of all time for Eunice.
I mean, I'm
remember
glad
when he said that shit?
He was dead ass. He was dead ass, but it's fine. It's fine.
It was a good, I liked it.
Nah,
it was dope. But like, I wouldn't say top 5.
Yeah, it was really entertaining.
Star-Lord didn't dance off with the star at the end. So
man,
like,
come on, man.
That's why he didn't fuck with it.
What did you think of, damn, I kind of did like The Suicide Squad. I really thought
that's
really cool. That shit was kind of heat for me.
It is. It is. Unless you're Arrow, but yeah.
What were your thoughts on John Cena as Peacemaker in The Suicide Squad?
It's weird because I felt that everybody around him, like interacting with him, was better than him doing stuff. I fuck with his interactions more than his actual like solo kind of endeavors. Like I'm not the action guy. Like I'm not there for the action.
Mm-hmm.
But the interaction with other characters is just like, okay, that was cool for me.
You like know, him and Idris Elba.
Yeah, exactly. Him interacting with all that, especially even when he first pulled up, like, and they was getting the rundown, like, oh, he does what I do. Yeah, but I'm cooler. Like stuff like that, you know, and especially what they give him to say sometimes, it hits for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it falls a bit like weird, like, okay. And, you know, with Peacemaker, I kind of feel the same way. And it's weird because in the show, I'm hooked because of everybody around him.
Really?
Yeah.
And not him?
And not, like, I'm not, like, looking. I love his interactions with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stuff that happens in, like, the action that he's involved in and stuff is, like, okay.
Weird beard.
Yeah, like,
I think,
you know. You know the stuff with him and Judo Master or whatever, like that shit was funny.
Is that,
you know,
a Cheeto? Yo, what the fuck are in these Cheetos?
Like not every joke that he was roasting him with hit, but the one that I was like ha, was the one he said that he'll use him at like as a Keyless replacement. Like, I was just like, yeah, that's crazy.
Violated.
But you know, James Gunn knows how to, especially like when he gets more time with a character, you get to kind of branch out and give more and stuff. I mean, his dad is an asshole. Like, his dad is a
he's a fucking white supremacist. Like, literally.
Bro, my face was just like, oh, okay, this is where we're going with this. And I love how he just tells him, dad, like, that's not what I do. Like, I'm not killing the bunch.
Not like you.
Yeah, I'm kind of not doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like that, like, so far, I will say, from the trailers that I've seen, and again, I'm a huge John Cena fan, so I was gonna watch it regardless.
Exactly,
and it is dope to me to see like where he comes from with like his, because his gimmick after a while became super corny, and like
the whole
wrestling.
You can't see me wearing the jorts.
But then like he would, you know, he would start wearing different like colored shirts, but like it became cool. It became a thing though, because like he was more for the kids. So it's like, And he knew that, and the industry knew that. So, like, they were like, yo, we're going to profit.
Kids grew up.
Right, we're going to profit off him. But regardless, me knowing him when he first started, like, being that white boy rapper, because he would smoke people on the mic. And that's a John Cena thing, though. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because it could have came out really, really corny.
Yeah.
It's still corny because it's like, yo, like, but, like, if you go back, like, some of the rhymes and raps and shit that he would hit people with, you'd be like, oh, shit, like, he low-key violated you. Like,
how it goes? When I run, my discipline is unforgiving.
Yeah, like dude used to release rap albums.
The ass kicking anthem, heavyweight, no phantom.
Yeah, like lit, crazy Thugonomics, bro. Thugonomics. I'm the doctor of Thugonomics.
Stop.
Bro,
like,
Fox News hates him, bro.
So
no, they love it from him, actually. They don't hate it from anybody else.
To see him from going from that. And now getting his own HBO Max series on a character that revolves much around like a big gimmick, the same way sort of his wrestling gimmick was, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of impressive to me. Like, it's kind of dope to see because, like, I genuinely feel as a person, like, as a human being, like he's a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, he does a lot, like, for the community. Like, like he has, I think he's the person with the most make-a-wish, like, wishes. Like, he goes and actually visits people. Like, it's insane.
That's fire. That's always great to know about.
Like, he's always been about that cause. Like, always. Like, and that's like a lot of what he's known for, like, outside of the ring. And like, so to me, like you never really hear anything really crazy about him, like, bad. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's dope to see him star in his own, like, show. Yeah. And it be kind of popular. Like, it's getting good reviews. People for the most part are really enjoying it. And I will say, like, I am one of them. I saw the trailers and I saw, you know, clips here and there, and I wasn't really, like, invested. And I'm just like, okay, like, but I sat down fully prepared for a James Gunn written and directed show. And that's exactly what I'm sort of getting, you know, like, still that rated R aspect that we got from the Suicide Squad. And I think what makes me like it a little bit more is that connective tissue to the Suicide
Squad.
That
was actually really cool.
It's like, I'm like, wow, like, this is a connective, like, universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
wait, so is this connected to the Zack stuff? Because the Wayne Enterprises logo is the same as...
I mean, there's a lot of Justice League references, right? Yeah. He referenced Aquaman. He referenced Batman. Yeah. Like, he's referenced these people before.
So that's pretty cool.
It is cool. But, and even besides all those things, right? Because you could have connective tissues and still be buns, like, the story to me is intriguing because, just like him, he in a sense to me is the audience, because he's like, what the fuck are the butterflies? Like, can someone please explain to me what the butterflies are?
Yeah,
I'm like,
that's
same.
A good, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about this. Like, what?
Yeah.
Who is he going after? And yeah, I just think it's another cool little ensemble team that they have here of misfits. Like,
that's the thing, man. Every time we break away from his shenanigans, I'm hooked. Like, with Mern and his interaction with the other characters, they're talking to freaking Weird Beard, talking to him saying, oh, I've never really told anybody how I feel about anything.
Yeah. But so like, when it's just centered on him, like, you don't care?
Like, when it's not that I don't care, I'm just like, okay, like, something wacky's happening, like.
Because I think the everything with his dad was kind of cool. Like, us getting to know a little bit more about why he sort of is the way he is.
Yeah.
Because his dad is clearly, like, super white supremacist, right? Hates any minority group. So he's instilling that, right, at a young age to his son. So his, you know, Chris, right? That's his name. But I like that they go by his name, right? Sometimes, like, he's like, hey, you can call me Chris.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, it gives him more personality. He's not just Peacemaker who was in prison, was working for the Suicide Squad. Like, there's an actual human being
but
under
he
there.
And, you know, I don't know if I made the reference to him reminding me of Homelander, because he's definitely not Homelander.
No, he's not. Like, he's a
I don't know who made that reference. I don't know who made that.
No, but you could sort of, in the Suicide Squad, you could say that more, because it's just like, oh, this guy's like, hey,
by
any means necessary kind of guy for peace. But, like, their ideals are completely different. Like, Peacemaker's not out, like, he's not.
Homelander's not out for peace.
That's what I'm saying.
But in the
sense of, like the ends justify the means kind of situation, or however that fucking saying goes. Like, they both have that sort of mentality. Like, Homelander's willing to do whatever it takes to, like, keep whatever secrets he has or whatever's going on with him. Like, he'll do anything to keep that. And the same thing with Peacemaker, in the sense I'm willing to keep the peace by fucking motherfuckers up. But in terms of, so I can appreciate that because I see where he's coming from with his dad. And I like that moment where he's in his bed by himself. And yeah, it's like and that's the thing that sometimes throws me off about, you know, James Gunn, but I understand it because that's his way of conveying Peacemaker's emotions, was when he was in his bed, right? And he was like crying. He's like, you're a fucking loser. Like, you always push people away. Like, this is what you do. Like, you could have, you know, really made a friend out of him, like this and that. Yeah. Like, I appreciated the honesty. Like, I wish it could have been done in a more like serious manner, right? And I think he still has that side to him. It can be.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean, though. It wasn't all for comedic relief. Like, he was saying real shit there.
Like his part in it, in that scene, was not comedic. I don't think. I wasn't laughing.
Yeah, I wasn't, but it was
like, it was when Vigilante came in, and then it became more of a comedy scene when Vigilante came in.
Right.
But before that, I was like, I wasn't
looking
laughing.
Look at my crotch. Like, no, I'm not going to look at your fucking crotch. Why am I going to look at your crotch?
Wait, yeah, Mark, exactly. Do you like Vigilante at all?
I do.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I mean, it's like, I think
he's funny.
He's hysterical.
He's funny, yeah. And I was like, you know, I was like, man, why the fuck is he even here? It's like, he's just like annoying as fuck. And then I realized, like, when he was talking about how he kills people, I was like, yeah, this guy's actually insane. Yeah, I was like, okay,
bro.
We're gonna see that later on. So then he sniped.
Yeah,
he's like, with the sniper when he was outside. Excuse me, let me try that. Okay, that's one, that's two. Like, and he's just like going, he's insane. And like, people are like, what the fuck? Like, and you see how like, even though that, I think that he's serving as like a thing where it's like, okay, yeah, Peacemaker was like, because I think everyone still is kind of like, man, he killed Rick Flagg, like, fuck, like, you know, like, yeah, he really fucked up, da da da. But then like, you kind of see, oh, okay, like, he's not terrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what these episodes have done a great job of up to this point, where it's like, you see, oh man, it's Peacemaker, he's an asshole, whatever, da da da. And then gradually throughout the episode, you see, oh yeah, he has a white supremacist for a father. Okay. Absent mother, probably, or dead. Cool. And then we're going to see fucking,
he needs therapy.
Everyone, yeah, absolutely. He needs fucking therapy. No question. He needs like three therapists. But
he needs to go to Arkham.
You know.
And they said, yo, bullshit. They said we don't have room in Arkham, bro. That's crazy.
Yo, Batman filling that shit up, bro. He's like,
yo, Batfleck is either killing you or sending you there.
And they mentioned Bell Reeve too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So confirmed.
And so I think it's done a great job of humanizing him after that introduction that we've had in Suicide Squad, where it's like, okay, like, I kind of feel bad for him a little bit here. Like, everyone's kind of giving him a lot of shit too. It's like, they're kind of treating him like an asshole. I mean, and yeah, you could say, yeah, he deserves it, obviously. But like, there's a interesting parallel where you're kind of like, I kind of want them to not treat him like an asshole, but then also at the same time,
it's like, fuck him, right?
He's also being an asshole at times, but that's kind of due to our knowledge of, like, we're lighter on it because we're knowledgeable of now his backstory and like his life and his father and all that shit. Like, and I originally hated it when the cyber, the IT guy, you know, the computer guy, he like sent the cops to his dad's house. I was like, bro, like, what the fuck? I was like, why would? And then when you find out he was white supremacist, I'm like, oh, all right, fuck him. Like, I don't care. Like,
I love how Murray was just like, what the fuck? Like, we're trying to get him on our side.
He's very stressed.
Yeah.
Like, the one guy, you know. So I love his character, though, by the way. And apparently he was an original character that James Gunn created for this
who
Clemson show.
Burn?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the original character we're getting on the podcast?
Hey.
Oh, wow. What when is that going to be?
I think next week.
Is that February 5th? Yeah. February 5th on a Saturday.
Well, shit.
We're going to, you know. Hey.
I hope you don't work that weekend either.
You don't.
You don't.
You don't. Bro. But. Sunday, all right. Well, we're good.
So. Mark's cutting it off right now. He's like, yo, like, that's it. We're chilling. But yeah, yeah, we getting our guy, Chuck Woody Iwuji, onto the podcast. Yes, he's been killing it so far as Clemson Mern. I am enjoying his character. Yeah,
I'm enjoying it.
Like, not even on a biased level. Like, I'm just like, wow, like, no, he's actually written pretty well. Like,
and he has I love how he's, like, legit an extension of Amanda Waller. Like, yo, like, I'm the boots on the ground kind of guy, and I don't take any shit.
Can we talk about that Viola Davis cameo?
Very casual.
Yes, I was literally about to be like, yo, oh my God. And then, and finding out that I had a feeling she had some connection to her. I didn't know that I don't know if that's common knowledge. I didn't know.
No, I didn't know
that she was, that she was her daughter. I was like, wow. I was like,
a Yoda.
Because I,
at a bayou.
Yeah. I
Bam
thought,
out of bayou. That's Bam Lifey, out of bayou. Bro.
That's all I kept thinking about. So I was saying, you know, it. At first, I was like, "Oh, there's something here," because she's so like relaxed and like not. It seemed like she was like not uptight, you know, with her when she was video chatting, like with that, like in both ways. You know, Viola wasn't mean to her, and she wasn't mean to or Amanda Waller. Yeah. You know, so like, I was like, okay, like, and then she said, "All right, good night, mom," and I was like, "Wow!" I was like, "Okay, that's dope." I like that. That was a cool thing. Again, humanizing Amanda Waller a little bit, even though her whole character is supposed to be like,
this cold hearted
bitch.
But we still get that. I love those subtle moments,
and we still get it. Yeah,
yeah. Where they're like, oh, I'm not a cold stone killer like Amanda Waller, like right in front of her. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure
they don't know. Yeah,
I'm sure to an extent, like her daughter, like knows. Like,
yeah, but she don't want to think about
it. Right. Like you don't want to hear that like right in front of you. You know, and they don't know that that's her daughter.
Absolutely.
And I love how you know, what's her name? Harcourt, played by Jennifer Holland, who is James Gunn's wife.
He's also I think everyone's kind of killing it. Yeah.
Everyone is killing it, to me. Honestly, like I thoroughly enjoyed these three episodes. I wish we just got a little bit more information on the whole butterfly thing, but I'm sure now that it's more exposed, they're gonna start covering that. Yeah. But I think
because they saw it,
I think what's good about HBO Max and them dropping three episodes at once is that it's like you really don't get a sense of like a slow kind of start with just one episode. You know, because sometimes at one episode you could be like, okay, cool, like still need. Okay, I gotta wait till next week to see the new one. But like, you drop three at once, so you kind of already got a story building. So you're kind of like,
it allows you to get invested.
Good point.
And trust me, I was invested from the opening couple minutes.
Wow.
Solely because of his interaction with that freaking dude mopping in the hallway. It got again. It had it
just because we smoked a little bit of weed. Yeah, like you think you could trust me?
That's how I feel about this show. Like it has it's like a roller coaster. Like it has it kind of lulls. It's like okay, that was kind of corny, whatever. And then like you kind of deal with it because you know it's gonna be sort of satisfying.
And then moments that reel you back in, you're just like, oh.
But that's also James Gunn. Like he. Like it's either gonna hit or miss, but you're gonna feel something. Like that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that right. I've grown an appreciation for his sort of directing style and what he's done, because he has in a sense like found his own groove with Misfits, and just like no one really does it better than him in the comic book sphere at the moment.
That's how I feel about him, and he's the perfect guy for the job. This is 10 episodes, by the way, or 8.
I might be 8. Let me see. 8.
Please be 8. Thank you. Oh,
yeah. So basically, next week we're hitting the
the four like episodes
at the midway
point. We're at the midway. Jeez.
But yeah, y'all. So what would y'all give from these first three episodes? What would y'all give the like the series as a whole? We don't have to do every episode.
So far, B-.
Mark's reaction.
What? That was bad? Okay.
Yeah. No.
Man, Mark loves when I lie, bro.
I know. Whatever.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this just as much as y'all. What happened?
No, it's just surprising, I guess, that you're ranking it Boba Fett above this for me. I don't know.
I was just like, wow. I have not given any episode of Boba Fett anything higher than a B plus.
But what'd you rate it overall? A B plus, right?
It's been kind
of. Now it's a B. Still higher. Higher than Peacemaker, but all right. That's fine. I mean, brother. I don't know.
I'll lie to you next week.
Don't worry.
I'm not saying lie. It was just surprising to hear. That's
it
all.
It doesn't matter because Euphoria is out. So,
I mean, that's actually facts. But yeah, I'll give Peacemaker. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. You go.
No. I was gonna say. I'll also just there's no A. There's no bad reviews for it, so nothing really to read off. And then. B, yeah, I'm giving this so far a solid B. I'm really enjoying it.
Hold that, Mark.
Actually, no, I'll give it a B+.
Hold that, Mark.
Don't say hold that. You ranked it.
Yeah, I generally can't wait for the next episode. I'm like, oh shit,
Thursday's rolling out. Tomorrow's the next episode.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Sorry guys, that we're covering it. we're dropping this on the day that the new one drops, but
it's fine.
Fuck y'all. But yeah, Mark. What would you give it?
Take your time.
I'd say like a B+.
Nice. It's a solid.
No.
You know, A-.
Yeah. I'll give it an A-. Because I kind of went in without like, without any. I don't mind John Cena, but like I didn't grow up watching wrestling. I didn't grow up watching all this stuff that he was.
That's actually a great perspective that Mark has too.
And so it was interesting to me, and obviously, and I didn't. His character was like, and I guess, you know, like somewhat interesting in Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And when I heard he was getting a show, I was like, all right, whatever. You know, I was kind of skeptical, and then. I saw the trailers. I was just like, doesn't look that great. I think it surpassed my expectations.
Yeah.
But I mean, they weren't really that high. But I mean, like, so I'm also kind of tampering myself with that. But in terms of writing and things like that, I like it a lot. I like the fact that he's kind of like, I don't care how many women and children I have to kill to get peace or whatever. But then when he's actually faced with it, he's like,
kids? I'm not gonna kill kids.
I can't do that. Like, and it's just like you kind of see where he's like, man, like he's and then you see the background and you're kind of like, okay, this guy's just really, really messed up. Yeah. Like he's just and he's kind of broken, you know, like and you kind of feel a little bit bad for him.
Yeah.
Where you're also, like, oh man, I wish he could.
James Gunn's song selections.
But that's what I'm saying is James Gunn. I would pass him the aux any day.
Like,
if it's two guys in the industry, two directors in the industry, well, three directors in the industry that I would pass the aux
four.
To, it would be James Gunn, it would be Edgar Wright, and it would be Tarantino. All bangers all the time. Like, I have not heard a bad song yet that those guys have played in their films. So,
yeah, like he did times it perfectly. I love that scene where he's just. In looking his underwear, just fucking like, singing. Or he stole the fucking like, crazy. This show jumped up on IMDb 104 spots. It is now ranked at number 6 in terms of most popular. We spoke about Book of Boba Fett, which is at number 3, jumped up 2 spots. And guys, when we return from commercial break, we'll be talking about the number 1 show. On IMDb currently, Euphoria.
Euphoria.
Come through and chill. We'll be right back.
I can't believe you're rating it higher than Peacemaker. That's just insanity to me.
Mark. This is all right, bro.
I guess, whatever.
Whatever.
You know how I'm going to sleep tonight?
I know how you're going to sleep tonight, yeah.
How are you sleeping tonight, bro?
Like this. Oh, I'm gonna show you actually. I'm gonna show you.
Oh, man, it's gonna be slumped.
I'm gonna look this comfortable. I have never seen an anime character look this comfortable in a bed.
Is that Goku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how comfortable I wanna be, bro.
Bro, I can't wait, bro.
To sleep?
Yeah, dude. Dude, I take it for granted. Like, I really do. I'm just like, wow. Like, I miss my bed every time I leave it. I'm like, wow. Whoa. I'm so sorry.
A lot of these kids on Euphoria are going to miss their bed if they keep fucking around. Including Fesco, including Nate, including Cassie, including Maddie. They all can get into some deep shit.
Dude.
Shit they're into right now.
I'm so upset I missed out on the conversation about the premiere, because like that, what an episode, dude. The premiere was just like a, what the fuck is happening?
One of the most satisfying season premieres I've ever watched.
New year, playboy. Boom. Get this fucking Casamigos over your head, bro. Like, bro. I don't think it was Casamigos.
We gotta get that sound bite.
Yeah, fucking. Yo, he, like, it was not a fight. Like, he worked him.
Ah. It was a beatdown.
Like, I don't know why. Like, this is the last thing I'm gonna say about that episode until, you know, I refer anything that happened in that one from the second one. But typically how things work. But McKay was about to get the hands too. I don't know why he went over there acting all tough, putting his hands up. Like, Fesco was not about to wash him too. You could also get the work, bro. Like, you was about to get washed.
Bro, and if Ashtray is nearby with the freaking
sight, bro. Yo, they lucky he wasn't there because he had to get the car going. They lucky because he would have just killed him.
Yeah.
He would have just killed him. Like Fesco gave him a warning. Like, motherfucker. Yo,
he told him to go to the car because he wanted to make a quick getaway, but because he didn't want him to kill nobody.
Like, yo, bro, he's like, I'm dead ass right with you. Like, I'm not trying to kill this dude. I'm just trying to send a message. If you did,
Ashtray had the red dot, bro.
Bro, if he got the hammer on him, it's over. It's super over for whoever won it.
The hammer, yeah, dude. He is a fucking beast, bro. I love
him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo,
he's a bull.
Did y'all notice? I think this was the first episode. Wow, that's wavy.
What?
Yeah.
The HBO.
Oh, that was by mistake. I'm gonna get the sound by a Fesco going New Year, new.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you had that on the.
That's the next soundbite, bro. That's the next one.
Well, I think this was the first episode, if I'm not mistaken, that didn't have a featured character, right? Like in the beginning. They just kind of took, like, we didn't get anyone's backstory this episode. I think this is the first episode not to do it, because I think every episode of last season did one. Besides maybe the finale. Hold on.
What did we start with right now? Like this episode. What was the first scene?
Of them taking Nate to the hospital.
Yeah. They started off straight with that. Yeah.
Yeah, but then he had I guess.
Oh no!
No! We talked about we talked about Nate. Like, they talked about Nate, how he's in love with.
Oh yeah, well,
like
he was kind
of. So we kind of did a flashback. We did a flashback of his like love life and how maybe he could have been different if he had met Cass.
That's true. But I like that they did it. Like, we don't need one every, like, I feel like we're still gonna, I feel like we're gonna get Lexi, like one featuring Lexi, because she's gonna be more prominent this season.
For sure.
We saw even a little bit of it when
Lexi.
She saw the father and she was on the top of the stairs and she kind of just backed up into the shadows, like, oh shit. Like, she was
Lexi
felt like she wasn't enough.
Cause.
Yes. Her and Fesco, please. Like, please. The couple I didn't think we needed.
I know. It's
crazy. I
don't
want it to happen because of what comes with it.
Yeah.
We know,
bro,
where
if
that
she
goes,
gets
bro.
Clapped, bro, I'm done. I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it. But you saw how she got, like, yo, she got all done up. She's like, yo, I'm about to go say what's up. Like, you saw a hypey guy? He's like, Lexi Howard.
He was like, what are you doing here?
Yo, me and Mark were talking about it. Mark was just like, yo, I wish he explained who Shardy was in the back. Faya? Because he did a terrible job.
Oh yeah, she just staying with me for a while. It's not like it's nothing crazy. Like, just be like, yo, that's my boy's girl. She's staying with me for a while because she's in fucking, you know, jail or some shit now or whatever. You know, like just make it clear that that is not your girlfriend romantic or anything.
Nah, but I think he would have specified, oh, this is my girl, because Fez, he's honest with her.
But I think also the reason why he didn't do it is because he's like, oh, like he, I think in his mind, he's like, she's way too good for me. Like, she's not gonna, like, I don't think that he registered in his mind that she was there for him, like, to talk to him and to,
I feel like he know he could bag it.
I don't think so.
Nah.
You don't think he's trying to bag it?
He's a sweetheart.
He knows. Yeah. He knows his life. Like, he knows, like, knows that shit. Like, he does not want her around that shit, guaranteed.
It's not worth it for him. Yeah, that's true. Worth it.
He's always pushed people away.
Exactly.
Yo.
Wait, actually, there is a backstory that we need. How him and Rue kind of fuck with each other.
Yeah, bro. Because he says always holding her down. Always holding her down. Yo, that's why and I was telling Mark, like, I get it. You know, Rue's obviously dealing with this. But I think Sam Levinson does this on purpose because, like, I sometimes, like, just cannot stand her character. But I get why I can't stand her. Like, I understand the reasoning behind it. You know what I mean? But it's just to me, I'm just like, ugh, like, you can have it all, and she does have it all right now. She has what she's wanted, jewels, and she's doing what she wants, exactly. Drugs. And I love that scene where, you know, she's going up that thing, you know, for people with disabilities, like up to the, you know, AA. And Ali's just waiting for her. And he's like, wow, like, I see you're still
like, well, look who it is. Yeah.
Like,
I love him, bro. He's so fucking.
Nah, he's the fucking man. And I love when I love how he wasn't, like, he didn't snitch Rue out, but at the same time,
I'm not going to lie for you either.
Right. He's like, I'm not going to defend you. Like,
yeah, he's like, yeah, she got a long way to go. Like, I love it.
Wow.
He's just so, and he looked at her too.
You think he's going to mag with the mom?
Yo, chill. Nah, he's not going to do that.
Yo. He's not going to do that. Because she was saying something, right? She was like, yo, like.
He's handsome.
Like, who is that? Yeah, did she say something?
He's handsome. Yeah, she said he's handsome. Yeah. And she was like. I love it, though. This show is just so good.
But y'all are right.
Everything about it.
Mark, you were right. The featured character was Nate. And the title of the episode is a reference to the 1984 Hall & Oates single, Out of Touch, from their 12th studio album, Big Bam Boom.
You're out of touch. I'm out of touch.
Dude, the openings, I'm so excited to watch it because the opening, like, 10 to 20 minutes is already just, like, phenomenal. Because you know we're going to get into some shit already within the first 10 to 20 minutes at least. And then, you know, the story progresses. You start getting every side of, you know, people's stories. And then, again, the last 10 to 20 minutes is just, again, like, oh, shit. Because can we talk about the dude. Can we talk about the oh, shit moment of this? Where Nate was just straight up like, yo, like, the reason this happened is because you had sex with Jules.
Wait.
You fuck my classmate?
Yo, he be wildin', bro.
I have a question about that, but before we do that, I want to talk about something else. When Nate's father was at the store.
Bruh.
How many of y'all did you guys think that he was about to pull a gun out?
Yes, but now, after thinking about it, no, because
Shorty was in there.
No, not even that.
He's like, after figuring out that he didn't, I'll say no.
No. Yo, Mark,
upon further review.
Mark, mad funny, bro. Yo, eat your tater tots.
I already finished him, bro.
No, but
I finished him while you guys were while you guys were fanboying over Boba Fett.
Oh my God. Bro, that was such a hater ass comment.
Word, bro. Oh,
I'm kidding. Bro, I'm kidding. A joke.
But to me, I'm starting to see Nate's dad isn't impulsive to me. Like, I think he went in there to scope him out.
Yeah.
Like, but everyone in the town knows him.
It was a vibe check.
He's right. He's beloved by the town. Like, everybody knows him. Look how he organizes his file of the videos that he keeps, right? He's an organized dude. Like, yes, his son got fucked up, but his son didn't die. I feel like if Nate died, he would have gone, like, reckless. But he's not a reckless dude. Mm-hmm. So, like, upon me, like thinking about it again.
Come on, hold on, JB.
Okay. He keeps the evidence.
Yeah. But no. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. But at the same time, like, he thinks he's low with it. Like, he is low-key low with it. The only one that knows about it is Nate.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jules.
Well, yeah. But, like, right, that's you're right. That is a reckless thing because she showed up at the carnival that day. My son was handing the fucking thing, like, shaking OD. He was like, ooh, like.
Bro, that's fucking crazy, man.
I do know what you're saying. Like, he is very calculating.
Yeah.
So, like, he went there, again, like you guys said, the vibe check. So, like, he went there. He was pulling up because he was like, all right, let me see how this dude is. Like, is he, like, super entrenched? Is he a fucking just absolute goon? Like, what's going on? Like, and that's what he said.
Ashtray vibe checking him. Like,
he was ready. Dude ran behind the fridge and said, let me pull out.
Bruh.
Listen, he was ready, bro. I was like, no words. I'm glad. No words between them.
I'm glad Ashtray pulled. It was a gun, right, that he pulled out?
Yeah.
It was a hammer. Because if it was a hammer, I knew Nate's dad was getting clapped.
I saw
Ashtray with the hammer in the hand.
I'd rather see him holding a gun in my head than that.
Exactly. Because if it's a hammer, bro, like if he gets a launching point, it's really a dub for him. It's really a dub for anybody in the vicinity. Like, but nah, man, I think
slide cancels around the corner.
definitely a
bunny hops.
A vibe check from Cal with Fez, and Fez is so, you know, like, yo, I'm trying to talk to Lexi right now that I'm not even concerned about you. But here's my thing, because we didn't get an opportunity to see what happened afterwards with that, but obviously Lexi knows that that's Nate's dad. So I'm assuming afterwards there was a conversation that she might have had with him, or do y'all think she stayed quiet about it?
He'd probably stay quiet about it because he would be like, oh, how did he know? And she'd be like, oh, my sister said. She just want to get her sister in trouble.
I think is going to be like one of my favorite arcs for the season.
Wait, hold. That's if she goes towards the light of redemption.
Well, I meant in terms of what the stories that they're gonna establish with her. Like, I think Sam Levinson's about to kill, like, smoke.
Well,
her
I hope so, because she's in a bad place, dude, right now.
She has an identity crisis.
She's down. She is down horrendously, bro.
Yeah, she's down. No,
the thing, she doesn't know who she is. Yeah. Like,
she's
without
an identity crisis.
No, like, yeah, I agree. Without but like without life. Right. And what's her name? Said it perfectly. Like, it's Maddie. Maddie. Yeah. She was like, when they were in the hot tub or
when
the
was
pool
the last
or whatever.
Time you were single, bro. Like,
no. Well, not that. It's like you, like, because Cassie said, oh, like, you know, I saw online or something that, like, you know, you can do a year of abstinence and all this stuff. And then Maddie's like, you can't, like, what are you talking about? Like, you love to be loved.
Yeah.
And at first, I was watching that and I was like, well, I mean, who doesn't love to be loved? But then
some people who.
Exactly. Like it's a thing where it's like she cannot function.
Yeah.
It's like she needs that approval and that I guess the love from somebody else, and like she before she can love herself. And like that's why she was like, you know, I'm not a good person to her ex McKay. Guy from college. McKay. Yes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you see that, then that's why she, you know, she had sex with Nate, and then she wants to be with Nate, but then she also, like, think about how self-destructive that is.
Bro.
Your best friend, like, he literally told her, if Maddie finds out, she'll try to kill me, but she will kill you.
Yeah. Like, A, he's toxic. And B, that's your ex's best friend.
Yeah.
C, and that's
I think he's trying to help her. I think he's actually trying to help her though. Like he took her to that, to like that lie, was like, listen, like this can never happen again. Like this kind of, like he's trying to like,
yeah,
but like then, I kind but then of follow her like, and started making out with her.
Well, is he supposed to just leave her there in an abandoned fucking house? I agree that, yeah, he shouldn't have made out with her. No, but you know
I think,
what I mean?
I think like, it's all part of his plan. I think he's very conniving. He's very deceiving. Like that. And that's what make like to me, bro. Like, because I have rewatched most of season one with Eric, with Kayla's pops, because he's mm-hmm. watching. He's caught up. And so rewatching it, I'm just like, yo, like the shit he used to say and do to Maddie, I'm like, yo, why was Shorty always fiending for him? Like, it's crazy. And now Cassie too. So it's just like, yo, clearly, like the mind games that he plays is just something that, like, just attracts them. Like it's just I don't want to say attracts, but like it's just something about him that like they clearly can't. Like he fulfills a need that apparently no one else can. Like for them,
and I also think, Maddie kind of sorry Mark Maddie, no, no, go, go, go. Maddie kind of admitted that that's her thing.
Yeah,
she
said
yeah,
it.
She shouldn't. She's like it's stupid, right? And Jules was like, "Don't do it."
She's self-aware, like, right?
Don't.
Yes, that's yeah, right. And I love seeing those interactions, right? Because like, and I've always said this about Euphoria, which I thought was so dope. It's like
the crossovers,
the different demographic of friends, right? It's like, yo, like. Like
yeah,
you have like the when you would see in a typical high school like scene like back in these older
shit
shows
is
right
different
like
now,
Mean
bro.
Girls right yeah. like ugh, like yeah. I'm not hanging out like with you like this and that no like everyone yeah. there is cool like they're vibing
they fuck with each other because they genuinely fuck with each other
right exactly it's fucking genuine like they're just able to just chill like they like I love when you know Kat, Jules and Maddie went bowling like it was just the, oh and what's his name Ethan
yeah when he was kind of just chilling by himself.
Yeah, because Kat losing interest, bro. Like, damn. And I love that scene with all the IG models and shit, like, getting inside her head.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
but it's
just
like,
showing how toxic social media can be. Like, you yes, have all these dude. People giving you advice that you didn't ask for. Like,
yeah, this fake self-help bullshit. Yeah. Like,
that's why I love the real fake quick. Quotes.
Yeah. And I think the way that Sam Levis has been going about it this season and the way he's been, like, directing... I mean, he's done it in season one, but I feel like he's amplified it now in season two a little bit. Like, you get something that's so like, oh, like I kind of have moments where I'm like, huh, like this is interesting, like this is new. But he in presenting this, he's telling a story with it and explaining yeah. to you in kind of in a funny and kind of elegant way as well. And just everything being shot on film just helps. like entirely, that shit looks so beautiful.
One of the best looking shows I've ever seen, man. Up there with Ozark and Daredevil.
Yeah.
Hey. Shout out to Ozark next week. Let's go.
Well, no, this week.
Yo,
Friday.
2 days. I'm bugging.
Yeah. But going back to the Nate thing, mm-hmm. like the reason why I say like it was a little different with the Cassie thing at the end was like. He got the shit rocked. His shit fucking rocked. Like, and I think in a way he kind of, obviously he's not a great person. We know that. I'm just saying like, I think it kind of gave him a different perspective on at least his romantic relationships a little bit, just a little bit because
I see where you're going.
So what I'm saying is like, once he got out and he was like, man, like, I'm a fucking idiot, like, you know, whatever. Like, and he texted Maddie, like, hey, like, I love you, you know, whatever. Right. Mm. So then what does he do immediately? Like, he's on the phone with Cassie, like, let's just talk about it, you know, whatever. Like, and she comes, then he picks her up in the car and like, she kisses him and stuff. But then he's like, you know, this can, you know, you could see on his face, like, this is like, he was dreading that car ride. You could see, literally see, I mean, unless he's like, yeah, you could say, yeah, he's being manipulative towards her as well. But I mean, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't
Man,
think.
Mark, Mark Murdoch, bro, giving him a fair trial out here, bro.
I'm like, I mean, I don't That's know. Dope. I feel like that, I feel like his shit getting rocked at that party was kind of just like.
A reality check.
Where he's constantly thinking of Maddie. And like, I think that was kind of something where it's like, okay, like, you know. I just can't, you know, I can't do it. You know, and whether that's also, it probably also has a lot to do with the fact that he doesn't want his dad's video to get out. And she also has she also knows about his phone, like the dick pics on his phone and all that shit. So like it could also be like that, you know, because she's doing that shit too.
So much tea,
like at the end of the day, I really do think he was trying, like as much as his like fucked up self could try. He was trying his best to like, break like, hey, off. Like we can't
have another problem.
This can never happen again. Yeah, this can never happen again. Like, cause exactly. Think about it. All that shit that's going on inside his head is making him fucking nuts. Like, yeah.
And you kind of like, saw that smile of him in the hospital. Like when,
yeah,
like,
this dude is like, going, he's losing it.
Yeah,
like, and he, so I think that at some point it was kind of like a reality check, you know, he's obviously still very, very fucked up, but, okay. And also my question was when we brought up the dad thing at the end, when he confronted his dad about the whole shit.
Yeah.
Is that really why he like, didn't, I thought he did that because, Rue, like, I can't remember. You just watched season one. So was it actually because of that? Because of that video? Like, and like Nate's dad, like...
Well, Rue threatened him at the end of season one. She's like, I know about Jules. Like, I know about the video. Like, don't fuck with me.
Oh, she said that.
She pressed him, like, hard
so,
body.
So Nate, so kind of... Nate.
Oh,
is
kinda, right, outside, yeah. At the prom. Yeah. The prom, right? Yes, okay, yeah. okay. And then Fez threaten him? Fez threatened him before that, didn't he?
Yeah, Fez.
Why did he threaten him?
Because he already knew that Nate was fucking with Rue and Jules in a sense. He didn't know he doesn't know the entire thing.
Yeah, he doesn't know the context.
But he just knows that he was fucking with them. So he's like, yo, you keep fucking with them, like I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then Nate took that personal. Called the cops on him and with the whole raid thing. And then obviously,
I remember that. Okay.
But
that essentially is why he beat the shit out of him.
Another thing, Maddie, I believe, did see the tape. She saw a tape.
That's the thing.
I don't know if it was Jules's tape, but she saw a tape.
I was asking Mark this last week. I don't remember if she watched it or not.
Did Maddie see Jules' tape?
Intern
DVD.
We need an intern.
DVD. What did Maddie see in the Euphoria season finale? Oh, we don't even know what she saw. That's like something that needs to be.
Bruh.
Euphoria's first season wrapped up on Sunday in a doozy with a doozy of a finale. They left more questions than answers. Yeah. What did Maddie see while she's over at Nate's?
We don't
house
even know, yeah.
Most likely. And left alone in his room when he takes a shower. She discovers a DVD, which he later watches. We see her shocked reaction to whatever's on the DVD. I'm assuming it's Ruse. I mean, Jules.
Nah. How can you look Jules in the face after that?
Yeah. True.
That's saying. I think Nate has the Jules one because it's missing. We know that.
It has to be Jules, bro, because why would his father be tripping about that?
No, I'm saying we know it's missing, but I'm saying I think Nate has the Jules one and she might have another one, or maybe I just don't see how Maddie can watch that and be like, hey Jules, like the next day without saying anything.
That's true.
Like without like or even visibly being uncomfortable. You don't see that. I can't see how that would be possible.
You make a good point, Mark.
But it could be. I mean, Maddie is weird, you know? I don't know. I don't know.
I guess she would have brought it up, right? Maybe like, yo.
Yeah, something.
I mean, but...
Like, what the fuck is happening here? Yeah, like...
I don't know.
I mean, she did press him about the whole Tinder thing.
What, the dudes?
Yeah, the Tinder thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's true, actually. Yeah, she did confront him on that. So why wouldn't she confront? Why wouldn't she say anything to Nate? Why wouldn't she say anything to anybody about the video? Like, so nobody?
Other shit.
No. I know what you just think of. I know what you just thought of. No fucking way.
Mark.
No fucking
Mark,
way.
Mark. Mark. Mark.
No fucking way. Mark, you no know way. It,
Mark. What? It's of Nate?
Wait, what were you? What? I just want to hold on. Wait,
Maddie fucking Nate's dad.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought you thought of. No, but I don't think so. No way.
She's nasty, bro. Because
nah, I can't see that, bro. I can't.
She's a freak, I can't, dude.
No,
I don't know.
Yo,
no
also
shot.
Shout out. We got a Titan in this.
Because Nate definitely would have watched it. Sorry, go ahead.
Word, that's true.
Nate watches all those fucking DVDs probably. So like.
The actress that plays Dove in Titans was in
Minka Kelly.
Yeah, I saw the streets was saying that they kind of got like vibes between her and Maddie.
Exactly.
Yeah, older, I saw that right? too. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I was like, yeah, definitely predatory, like the female version of Nate's dad.
And also, exactly, and also peep how Maddie was very comfortable with acting up in front of Nate's dad and all that at the carnival. Come on, guys. She embarrassed both of them there. Not just Nate. She embarrassed both of them there. Because what she did in front of those people there. Come on.
Why is he not...
I guess
that's way too risky for him. Guys, think about how we just said he's so calculated. That's way too risky
for him to fuck his son's girlfriend.
And also, Mark, that is a super wild card because Maddie's a wild card. Like that, like it can go any way.
Exactly, dude. She's pushing. You saw her pushing people's faces up against windows of classrooms while like, class is in session. Yeah, what'd you say? Say that again, bitch. Like, I was just like, God damn. Like, she's fucking, this is like a fourth period shit.
Yo, and we forget that Maddie's with the shits, bro. Like, that's something that, you know, goes over our heads about.
She will fight. Like, yeah, she don't
fuck. Clearly. Well, guys, the next featured character is Cal Jacobs for episode 3 of the season.
That, oh my God. Hey, this is going to be an insane. The dad.
Oh. Shit.
Yes.
This is going to be nuts. This is about to be nuts.
It is. That's what I'm saying. Like, we might get some answers that we're looking for right now because they're going into his backstory. So they're definitely going into how he started recording and how we got into this.
All right. So let's go with odds real quick. What do we think? Do we think it's actually Jules or do we think it's somebody else in the video?
Bro,
I think it's somebody else.
It's somebody else.
In this point in time, the CD is still missing?
Yes.
So he's going crazy.
This. Obviously. That was the first thing.
So
that was the first thing he said. He was like, where is it? Like, he knows. Like, he knows that somebody has it. Right now?
Nate?
I think Nate has it. And I think Maddie has
one. She had to put it back because I think it was in Nate's room, right? Didn't he take it and leave it in his room? Oh, and that's how she, because I don't think.
Nate took two. And I think Maddie took the one that just fell out or something that she noticed. She just took one of them. And that's what she ended up watching.
Did Nate really risk taking that out of thing?
Can we just rewatch the episode?
Well, it's not like it's a risk. I mean, what's his dad going to do? Hey, have you seen a DVD?
I can't really tell you what's
on. Do not look at it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can't ask.
Who had the CD at the end of Euphoria?
Hey, did you see like child porn laying around by any chance? Fucking sicko, dude.
Early on, Nate steals the tape of his father and Jules, but uses it to blackmail his classmate. That's how he both protects his father and gets Jules to lie to the police and identify the wrong guy in Maddie's sexual assault case. Okay, that's not explaining to me though. All right, so either Maddie or Nate has the CD, right? Cal's looking for it, and then at the end of this episode, Nate's like, "Yo, because his dad was like, "Yo, why did you get into a fight with this dude? Like, what happened?" He's like, "Oh, actually,
let me close the door."
I was protecting
Mom's not gonna want to hear this.
I was actually protecting you because I am now aware of your secret sexual exploits.
I think he only took one. Maybe you're
I think
wrong.
It's the one. I think it's the Jules one. I think Maddie saw it and like she just hasn't said anything yet.
Well, why? That's fucking mind blowing. That's literally sexual assault,
bitch. What the fuck? Yeah, right? Like she would have done some shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like there's no way she sits on something like that.
I think it would have been straight up. It would have been straight up chaos, like from the jump. Like
especially from the way her character is written.
Yeah.
Like I don't think Like Mark has a point. Like she wouldn't stay quiet about this. Yeah. So she must have seen someone. Like it was a tape of him doing it with someone else. And
it's
she's like,
either
what the
her
fuck?
Or somebody else, bro.
But the thing is, he only took one CD, and he took the CD to blackmail Jules to get her to identify the wrong person.
So
in
that's
the
one she saw.
It has to be, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you only see him take one. I just don't understand. Like, what else could it have been?
Guys, that's why we still have six episodes left.
Oh, thank goodness there's six left.
Before you know it, we're reviewing the finale.
Six. But any other thoughts, guys?
This show is amazing, and I cannot wait for Sunday night.
Same.
And, guys, check out the A24 podcast. Because our girl Jules was on it with Lordy, and it's A24, so that's fucking lit.
Anything they touch is gold.
For real. And weird, so it's amazing. And or weird.
Yeah, and or weird.
But Labyrinth coming through again, smoking it, as per usual. Can't wait till the whole thing drops, so I can listen to it for months upon months.
Wait, there's going to be a whole season 2 soundtrack?
Yeah.
Because they're using some of the same stuff from last.
Yeah, just to like in some scenes, but there's some new stuff. I always like the choices, the track list that they use, like in terms of like other songs that they use.
Oh, okay, always okay, lit. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no. I give this episode a I give it an A-.
I give it an
A+.
Yeah, it's just fucking amazing. There's no flaws. It's just questions that you're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, it's just so good, man. Like,
we have more good questions than
dude.
Than
but according questions. To this guy, 2 out of 10 drugged out writers. The writers must be brain dead. I can't believe I wasted my Sunday evening watching this junk. Watching grass grow is mourning. Is mourning enjoying than the show? Is morning enjoying than the show? Okay, Sarah Becker. I'll read one more. I know that's way too long. I don't want... perfect. This one right here. 3 out of 10. It felt like a music video. No plot.
What? Bro.
No plot.
Okay. All of the fantasy stuff was so unnecessary. No. Again, it is too... Never mind. The writers have had over 2 years since season 1 to come up with season 2, and they still haven't managed to create character development or a suspenseful plot. Nothing is formulating. Dude, I think people just want characters in an episode to just be like, hey, I am a noob. I am no longer a drug addict.
They want a character arc in one episode.
Right.
Redemption, one episode. That's it.
That's it. One redemption episode. But here's the thing about this show that scares me, but in the best way possible. Maybe some of these people won't get redemption. You know what I mean? Like maybe that it is what it is. Like that's life.
Be tragic.
It could have a tragic ending, dude. I honestly do see. No, I don't. I see Rue recovering and like depending on when it goes on for. But I don't think a show like this. How many seasons do you think a show like this will go on for? I think 4 to 5.
I believe Sam Levinson will go creator of Breaking Bad style. Make it just a five act tragedy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I think so too.
5 seasons.
Like I feel like you can't continue this character arc of these people and not.
They need to grow up and out.
Yeah, exactly. And whichever form that may take, good or bad. How are you guys feeling about the new inclusion of Elliot?
It is a wild card for Rue.
Yes.
Because he has certain qualities about him that I feel she really needs with Jules that she's not getting.
Mm-hmm.
because
because
he's like a user just like her, and he feels this same kind of dread about life that she does. They've both lost, I feel, you know.
I've loved and I've lost.
They are literally in that kind of situation together. And it is, you know, it's a kind of spark to the show that I didn't know I was looking forward to. Because he's not a bad character either. It's just like, you know, okay.
I feel like he'll get an episode.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. I like him. I think that, I think that it is, again, like he's, the reason why I like him is because he's like, he knows that this is not a good idea. He knows that it's not good for them to hang out. You know, like he literally said it multiple times. Like, I don't think it's a good idea that we met, or a good thing that we met, you know, or that we hang out, or that we're friends, because it's dangerous. Yep. I mean, like, look at the first time they met each other, she almost OD'd. Like, you know, like,
dude, that shit was so, I was like, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I was wow.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Like, and so I like it. I think that, I don't think it's going to get romantic between them. I just think that that's the only reason
she's
going to struggle with it. Well, it's more so the only reason I think that she's struggling with telling Jules about him is because she doesn't want her to know that she's back on drugs. Like, you know, so like that's going to come out obviously this season. We all know that. I mean, so it's going to be interesting, I think, to see how she continues to try and balance it. Like, she's like, oh yeah, because I'm really good at my job. It's like, no, you're fucking not. Like, you are gonna get this shit, like, be bad. Like, we already know it, and I feel terrible already for it, but it's gonna happen. Like,
yeah, so this shit is not,
it's tragic, man.
I can't wait, but yeah,
I can't wait.
It's
just fantastic.
I can't wait to tune in next week. Again, guys, we'll be reviewing Boba Fett. We'll be reviewing Peacemaker. We'll be reviewing Euphoria. We have to find a set date to review Ozark. Because obviously that's a Netflix show.
Oh, so I say when we're all done watching it, we just review it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A safe. I'll probably knock it out this week. because this is the series finale, so
this is
the final season,
we're getting part one. It's getting split into halves because it's 14 episodes, so we're getting seven. So I say we could review the first seven and then review the next seven.
I love it.
Make
sure to tune in for that, guys. We're starting to get the official first test screenings for the Batman are today, so that should be interesting to see what the first reviews.
2 hours and 56 minutes, dude.
I love it. So yeah, let me see if there's any commentary on that yet, the Batman. But yes, dude, I am so excited to show you the trailers afterwards. I think I'm more excited for you to watch the trailers than the film. Movie. but I'm hoping. And obviously, everyone else is. I'm hoping the movie is just as good as the trailers and the posters that we've seen so far. Because the posters have also been absolutely, like, the marketing so far has just been stunning. Like, I don't think they've missed in terms of just getting people, like, to generate that hype. Like, you know when you get a poster and you're just like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, No Way Home at first, bro, was dropping some real crusty posters, and then like the last few that they dropped are amazing. The Doctor Strange one is phenomenal. I think the Batman content so far has been just fantastic. And just every Reeves has been going on more interviews. Shout out Matt Reeves, we'll eventually get him on our podcast.
It's already happened. Confirmed.
Yes.
Damn, we're not on video.
But yeah, y'all. So we will be tuned in to I think starting February 4th, I'm going full Batman mode. Like, talk to me nice, because I really won't care about anything else at that point in time. From February 4th till When does Doctor Strange come out? Oh, May? June. Isn't it May?
No, June.
What comes out in May? Something comes out in May. Well, either way. Okay, let me to be safe, let me say it like this. From February 4th till the end of the year, I'm going to be Batmaned out. So just letting you know beforehand. And any questions you have for me, like in terms of, what's up, JB? What's your favorite movie? The Batman. Yo, JB, what's going on, man? Anything new? The Batman.
Batman.
Yo, JB, the Batman. You know what I mean? So that's all I'm going to say. From February 4th till 2023, the Batman. That's all I'm going to say. I'm like Hodor, but with the Batman. You could literally just call me the Batman. That is my new name. From February 4th to 2023. So, guys, make sure you tune in. I'm the Batman, and I'm tuning out with Boys Area. No, all seriousness, guys, make sure to tune in next week. Come through and chill. Brian, Eunice, go fuck yourself.
Should we do one for JB?
I think we should.